B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
Wall Dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Dough, I'm hopping all around. I'm a pink bird. I'm walking all around. Better drink some wah-wah. I'm just flamingo. I'm coming on your shoreline. Here I go. I'm gonna peacefully drink. Yo, I'm slowly creeping up to your front yard. Nothing threatening here. I'm just a flamingo. I'm a flamingo and I'm coming up to you. Oh, is that your child? I'm gonna rip out his motherfucking eyeball. I'm gonna rip out his goddamn eyeball. I'm a flamingo, I'ma rip out your eyeball. I'm a flamingo and I get up in your child's eyeball. No more eyeball, child bitch. Time for grandma. Time for grandma. It's time for grandma. I'm gonna eat your grandmother. Time for grandma. Give me your grandmother. Give me her. I'm eating your grandmother's. I don't give a fuck. I'm flamingo, bitch. No rules here. No rules here. I eat then I fly away. Flamingo, goddammit, I don't care. I live by these rules and it's truth or dare, baby. It's a lawless nation for the flamingo. It's nothing that I do can do about it. Do I got no way to fly and all of got a thirst for blood, got a thirst for blood, got a thirst for blood. I'm gonna come and get you. I'm a flamingo, bitch. I'm gonna come and get your ass. It's flamingo time. I'm time to eat a little snack. Yo, your snack is mine. The snack is your person. Your human body is my appetizer. Then for dinner, I think I'm gonna do croutons and maybe a light baby spinach. I think I might do baby spinach for dinner. But first your sister, and first your sister.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. Town Fair Tire Studios. And I hope everyone can be a flamingo today and just act like a flamingo and have some fun. Eat someone's eyes.
Yeah, and don't go after grandma, or at least a body part of the grandma. You don't want to do that.
No. Well, I mean, don't take it literally. I mean, just, you know, think like a flamingo.
Our listeners sent me videos of that guy. His name is Mark Rebelet, and he's this John Wallach looking dude who just has a keyboard in front of him, and there's a little bit of Wesley Willis to him, but I think he's from somewhere in Texas. There are videos of him being hired to, you know, like restaurants will just hire a musician to be in the corner and be background noise. There's videos of some restaurants hiring this guy, like during the day it'll be like a crowded restaurant, there'll be like families. And he'll be playing, and all of a sudden, he'll just start yelling, like, the most foul things on the microphone. And to the point where all of a sudden, the crowd just, everyone in the place will just start turning and looking at the guy. And, like, you'll see, like, a mom bringing her, like, daughter to the bathroom, like, right in front of where the table is. There he is. I mean, it's like, I don't know if he's just this, like, really weird performance artist that just gets a kick out of, like, I don't know, pissing off people or something. But it's... his videos are phenomenal. So he does these shows on the internet during the quarantine where he'll just be in his basement, and his dress of choice is to wear like this open silk shirt and just like tighty whities, like underwear. And they'll just throw out topics that he'll have to do a song about. And he did one about being a dungeon master that had, I had tears in my eyes. I was laughing so hard.
Do we have that today?
I could see if I could find that. I'll see if I can forward that, and we can get that in there. But, I mean, this guy is awesome. And I don't know how he's a future superstar.
Well, there was a lot of people defending him yesterday on the phone, saying that there were a lot of fans.
Oh yeah,
of his on the phone.
I don't think this guy's that good personally.
I think Little Dickie's way better than this guy.
Who's Little Dickie?
Little Dickie, that show was incredible.
Dave, that show was unbelievable. Little Dickie's way better than this guy. This guy's
Better than this guy. This guy's just a weird dude. I guess he's been doing it for years.
Yeah, Little Dickie's better and does better and is even more weird than this guy. That's why when I hear it, I feel like he's just a Little Dickie ripoff.
See, I don't know Little Dickie.
Do you ever saw the show Dave on Hulu?
I've heard of the show Dave, and I heard it's very good, but I don't.
That's like kind of his.
This is his gimmick.
It's like a biography kind of show. It's a fictional show, but it's based on his life. Yeah, if you haven't seen Dave, it's a really, really, really good show.
And he raps about all sorts of things, just like this guy's doing, except this guy's just more of a, I don't know. I just think he's a huge ripoff of Little Dickie.
Well, he's also a flamingo.
We definitely know that. I'm going to rip out his goddamn eyeball. I mean, if you're just going to take musicians who go up there and sing random songs just off the top of their head, then, I mean, let's go Wesley Willis. Don't say that Little Dickie is the first one to ever do anything like that.
Yeah, I just think this guy wants to be Little Dickie, though.
I don't think Wesley Willis had much of a choice. Like, I'm thinking Wesley Willis was a... you know, that was kind of beyond his control.
It was just kind of who he was?
Well, I don't think there's any doubting that. I think Wesley Willis would go up, you know, with headphones on and a tape recorder and just have his way. That's my opinion on the situation. But you know what? I'm controversial, so don't worry about me.
See, Wesley Willis, if you don't know, is a guy who just had the same Casio... like samba beat, and he would do an entire song, and it would either, and the only thing that would change would be the speed of the beat and the key of the beat, but it would be like the same 2-minute song. He would just make up a verse and then sing the chorus in the same way. It was like rock and roll McDonald's, rock and roll McDonald's, and it would be the exact same thing for 2 minutes. But that was Wesley Willis, and he got to the attention of Rick Rubin, and Rick Rubin produced his albums.
Which almost seemed cruel in a way, but...
Well, it made him some money.
How much money do you think Wesley Willis walked away with at the end of the day?
I bet Wesley Willis, because that's back when, you know, before streaming when he first started. So I bet he sold an okay amount of CDs. And I bet that he actually, when he would play a place that was in town, he probably, you know, had like... But 300 people show up. So for a guy like Wesley Willis, that's probably not a bad gig.
Well, his net worth is almost $1 million.
Wesley Willis?
About $1 million.
For a guy who just presses the demo key and yells over it, that's not bad. Although he's dead, I believe.
He is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not long for this world, Wesley Willis. Not long for this world. But, yes. My family, I was having car trouble, and then I realized my family was home from Tennessee, and I don't know quite what to do. Like, do I stay home now? Like, what am I supposed to do?
What do you mean?
I mean, my family was in Tennessee. My kids were in Tennessee for 9 weeks. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go to the radio station?
Right, because that's a... did you hear yesterday? You know, the timing couldn't have been more perfect for them because yesterday the governor came out and said that if you... It just shows how everyone has just effed this whole thing up. Outside of here, Massachusetts has been great. Like, they've done a really good job. But his whole thing was that if you are not from one of the northeast states, like if you're not from Vermont, Maine, I think Connecticut and Rhode Island are included in there, that if you come into Massachusetts, you are asked to quarantine for 2 weeks before you are able to go out and about. So then, and I think today is the first official day of that. Now, I don't think you can get punished for it, but, you know,
well, I mean,
you're right,
how the hell would they know? But I guess the airports were jammed yesterday, and people are flying again, and they're starting to add planes, but I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to come in? Or have I been infected by people from Tennessee? Well, I'm supposed to come in tomorrow, so I'll come in tomorrow. But I don't know. This whole thing has thrown me for a loop-a-rooney. When I talked to Mike Lockhart, I didn't know what I was. I didn't know that they were home, and I was having car trouble. And then I saw they were home, and I'm like, what am I to do?
Did they get home in the middle of the night or something?
Yeah, they had delays, and then they came, and Stephanie was in bed when I got up, when my alarm went off, and I'm like. I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do. I don't know what the rules are in this crazy world that we're living in right now. But I will talk to the proper channels, and I will find out what am I to do.
There is, I think in Maine I saw this story. Dan would know this. There, if you own a hotel in Maine, I think that the rule is now that you can't book anybody from out of state unless they prove that they have had a coronavirus test within the last
72 hours.
Yes, 72 hours. So,
good.
I mean,
we rented a place in Maine for the end of the month or the beginning of August. So that's good. That's good to know.
I don't know how long that lasts, but now it's like everyone in New England is basically trying to do everything they can to keep everybody else away because they're the only place.
We're all just pointing fingers at everybody else now, saying
right. It's the only place that seems to be doing it right. I think there's only three states that are on track to actually containing the coronavirus, and Massachusetts is one of them. And then, I don't know, Maine might be the other one. I don't know. I think it's New Jersey and believe it or not, New York. They've done a good job.
I think you're right, Rich. Yeah.
In Rhode Island now, there's a 14-day quarantine, apparently.
Yeah.
In Rhode Island, if you're coming in from out of state, which I think is funny because Massachusetts can be less than an hour from Rhode Island. I don't know what magically happens when you cross the border, but nonetheless. All right, what do we have coming up, Rich?
All right. Well, speaking of all of that, we have some interesting news when it comes to the NHL and baseball. Today, there will actually be some sort of movement and action at Fenway Park. We will get to all of that.
Oh, Dan, you lucky bastard. And not Dan O'Brien, Dan Roach. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5, Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, even though the NBA, the NFL, the MLS, the PGA, NASCAR, the UFC, professional lacrosse, and even baseball, after their cluster F of a negotiation, were all able to get their seasons back up and running with dates on calendars, the NHL has still yet to commit to when and where they will conclude their current season. But the one thing you could at least hang your hat on that helped you believe that the league behind the scenes had things figured out was that Las Vegas, one of the two hub cities where the NHL was planning to relaunch the season, was a lock. Well, according to reports, that's no longer the case. According to TSN's Frank Severale and the Las Vegas Sun, Vegas's recent spike in COVID-19 infections have, quote, put a damper on the bid. Now, on Monday, it was revealed that Clark County recorded its third largest single-day increase in COVID-19 cases, and that came just 2 days after Vegas experienced a single-day high on Friday. But what truly may have caught the eye of the NHL was the fact that 56% of the positive cases in the region were in the 20 to 49 age group, which is where almost the entirety of the NHL's players and many of the coaches land. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the postseason is completely in jeopardy, but it just might mean that we're getting a 100% Canadian playoff. Word is that if Vegas is indeed out of the picture, Edmonton could swoop in and join Toronto as the two front runners.
Masters.
I know, it's all Canada.
You're going to go to Vegas, and then you turn around, and the next thing you know, you're in Edmonton.
It's like paradise.
That's right. I've never been to Edmonton, but I can't imagine it's much of a city. But it seems like a good enough place to isolate. I mean, they probably have one case of Corona because everyone's too busy watching Strange Brew.
That might be the case. Where was that set? Was that an Edmonton production? I'm not quite sure. Where were Bob and Doug McKenzie from?
The Great White North.
I know that.
It was just Canada in general. It was wherever Geddy Lee could do their theme song.
Take off to the Great White North. Well, but to add an even another wrench into things, TSN's Bob McKenzie, not related to Doug McKenzie, but the reporter, he said it's not just the cities that need to be figured out, but the league can't even move ahead until a new player agreement is signed first.
Right now, the National Hockey League and National Hockey League Players Association do not look as though they are going to announce the identity of the hub cities until they've got the entire return to play protocol and a new CBA all agreed to, at least pending player approval. So there is a real possibility it could be all Canadian hubs, that is Toronto and Edmonton. It's a very fluid situation, minute to minute, hour to hour. That is the case.
I might be the most uninformed person on the planet, but is that the first we're hearing about this? Is that in the meanwhile, while they're doing all that, they're still trying to pound out, they won't move ahead until a CBA is pounded out, and this whole return to player safety thing? I mean, just every one of my stupid instincts about the NHL just dragging ass in this whole deal is all coming to fruition.
And what about Canada, Rich? Like, do you think Canada wants to bring all these players in? Like Toronto's having an issue trying to get out in basketball with the NBA and the Raptors.
This is the only thing that you could say. Do you really think the Canadians want all this to come there? If it's the NHL, yes. I'm with Fred on
Trudeau,
that.
Trudeau. Excuse me, Trudeau stepped out of the way, and he's like, it's up to every province. And so that was him saying, I know better to not trip this up if I want to get reelected. So, yes.
I understand them realigning it and letting some of these Canadian teams in, like Montreal and Toronto, to actually be in the playoff. But, again, if you look at the NBA and what's happening with the Raptors or even the Blue Jays, Toronto Blue Jays don't even know if they can show up for spring training in Toronto right now. So I'm wondering if just Canada will allow this to even come there. And I know you're mentioning hockey, yes, but I mean, I don't know if they want a bunch of players coming in from all across the country with a virus happening right now. I don't know. To me, this sounds like it's still up in the air.
It's like if it's not one thing, it's the next. And now we're learning that it's not only the cities, but they have to – do you know how long this all took for all the other leagues to get this figured out? The return to play thing, by the way, the NBA was on it almost from the moment that the league stopped. They were figuring out, okay, what is the safest way to do all that? They had all these packets that were sent out to the players. They had phone calls with these big Zoom sessions. I've heard of none of this happening right now. Matter of fact, that's the first I'm hearing of the NHL. We all thought that the NHL was just ready to go. They're like, all right, well, they seem to have their stuff together. No one's complaining. No one's saying anything. The reason they're not complaining is because they haven't seen anything. They haven't seen any kind of plan at all, so there was nothing for them to complain about. There was nothing for them to point at and go, well, I'm not really comfortable with this, or I don't really like that. And the CBA part of it? What are we doing here? How did they not get that at least pounded out before they even started looking at the cities? Fred, I, like you, think it is going to happen, but man, we are really, it's July. I mean, the NBA starts this month, and I don't know when they want to end this season by, but I mean, it's going to take, playoff hockey is going to take longer than playoff basketball. We know that. Just the amount of recovery that you're going to have between games, it's going to have to be a little bit longer. I don't know how far they're willing to take this season, but just the amount of just dragging on all of this is infuriating. And now we've just gone to the next level where it's all in Canada. And as much, Fred, as I agree with you that the Canadians are going to welcome it with open arms, there is that weird possibility that they might look at what's going on and all the explosive numbers all over America. And they might, Fred, the EU just put out a list of countries that can now travel over to all these countries over in Europe. And America's not on the list. We're not even allowed to travel over there right now. So I wonder if there's part of Trudeau who might be, maybe as much as people love hockey, might think about the backlash if they're able to do it. Fred, I'm leaning on your side, but it's just another thing that they should have had ironed out before all of this happened.
I don't know. McKenzie seems like he's losing his mind. He just
I would too. If every day you wake up, you think this is the day you're going to announce what it is.
He just seems to be very, very frustrated that he's not in the know. But McKenzie just is. I've never heard him so angry. He's just very, very angry. So I would take what he says with a grain of salt. He seems to get it, letting emotion get in the way. But no, I don't think they're going to have a problem playing in Canada at all. I mean, they seem to have locked in Toronto, but who knows? Well, and if I'm Edmonton, I'm like, oh, please, please, please come.
Yeah.
Do anything you can to come. So, again, I'm not overly concerned. It just, I don't know what the CBA has got to be. I mean, it doesn't seem like that would be a huge deal because the CBA is just for this shortened season, right?
I'm hearing about it for the first time. Like, yesterday was the first time I heard about this. I thought that they were ready to go. But now they have to hammer that out and the return to play protocol, which these are things that should have been dealt with at least a month ago. And I don't see that's something you could have moved ahead on before you even had these cities ironed out. And I don't, because you could have had the cities match what your health protocol was. All right, wherever it's going to be, this is the way it's going to, this is the kind of place we're going to do it. I mean, the baseball is going from city to city and they've got something figured out.
Well, now the NBA's talking about not playing. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of fluid movement going on in sports right now.
It is very, very strange. But I hate to say this because their name hasn't been brought up in any of this. But as far as American cities, if they really want one, do you consider Boston? I mean, they're handling the coronavirus better than any place in the country. And if you truly wanted one American city, wouldn't you at least consider it? Now, there's no advantages of
Northeastern. You'd have Northeastern. You'd have Boston College. You'd have BU, all practice
rings.
I'm
sure all the hotels are wide open, too, right? I mean, at least here in Boston. Right?
What's that place that Xana Dude keeps talking about that's this complex that's got like six rings that he skates back and forth on?
I don't know. That's Xana Dude territory, though. He doesn't need them clogging up the ice.
Maybe not, but I mean, listen, there's no advantage as a fan, but because you're not going to get to see the games, but I am a little surprised that it's not being considered when you just take a look at how well things have been going here.
And if you see the quality rinks that they have, yes, I would assume that Boston would be a place that you could do it, and you don't even have to keep the people in hotels in the city if you didn't want to.
I mean, would you guys want it here, though?
No, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me either way. I mean, I'm not going to see the games.
We're not going to be able to go, so I guess it doesn't matter.
I guess it would be interesting because there would be like a lot of spotting these guys around town. But then again, the NBA would be better. Like more, the NBA people are their personalities would dictate to them doing something out and about in the town that would seem a little more juicy. Like hockey players are kind of boring, so maybe not. I just don't know why they haven't considered that. It seems like an easy choice. You're right, with all the rinks and all the schools here that could facilitate that.
Plus, but you'd have Xana Dude that could just rollerblade with this flag all over the place.
He could.
You got to take that into account when you're thinking of cities.
Be a part of the opening ceremony with the flag, right?
You would assume that Xana Dude would be invited.
Can he skate with a mask? I bet he can.
He can skate with anything. Xana Dude can skate in any situation. He can skate on grass. All right. What's coming up, Rich?
All right. Well, let's get to the first day at Fenway. And pretty good sign if you're looking forward to Cam Newton being a success here in New England.
All right. We'll have all that here in the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is Sports Hub. And either of you, Family Matters, you ever see the show Family Matters?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I never watched it back in the day, but I'm familiar with it, yes.
Okay, because it got very bizarre towards the end. And there was just an episode on where Steve Urkel becomes Stefan Urkel.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? He had a magic box that would turn him into different things. And the girl that he loved, like he would hand her a flower and like a rose, and she was smitten with him. But then he would turn back into Steve Urkel, and she would dismiss him. But there were also times where he would turn into Kung Fu Steve Urkel, and he was a master of karate.
Hang on, what? What was that?
He had built himself a machine.
I understand that, but how did they explain Kung Fu Urkel? Like, what was the scenario where he had to use Kung Fu?
Well, there was not a lot, probably to defend the honor of the young woman that he was in love with, but there was never a lot of explanation, Rich. He had just created a clear box that made him into either the sexy guy. I think they what you could put it as is they ran out of ideas.
No, he turned into I think it was Bruce Lee. Like, he thought he was Bruce Lee.
Yeah, he turned into, like, Bruce Lee or Cal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he came out with, like, the thing that they wear. Like, you know what I'm saying? That, like, sure. White thing that they wear. Right. And so it's quite a show. It's quite an adventure.
You know what rocked my world was when Stephen Urkel knocked on the door of the Full House and Jesse opened the door. And it was Jesse and Stephen Urkel, and it was, woof, my life changed. Urkel going to the Full House? That was
did something. He go, mercy? He left that for Lori Loughlin. He go, mercy.
Right.
Okay, real quick, and then we'll move on. But
you want to move on from the Stamos?
No. When Urkel showed up.
Again.
The one thing I do know about Urkel is that once he showed up, they went all in on Urkel. Like, it was the Urkel show, right?
Dude, they had the Urkel dance.
Okay.
I went to the Urkel dance, and we did the Urkel dance.
Of course. He was a phenomenon. And that show, was there ever a point where one of the writers was like, you know what? I want to do a non-Urkel episode. And you watch it, and you're like, oh, boy. This really
– Oh, yeah.
They really didn't know. They should have just kept it Urkel 1,000%.
He was not supposed to be a main character.
Right, yeah, but he was such a hit when they put him on there. I'm just wondering if after all that, was there ever a point where one of the writers was like, this isn't what the show is supposed to be. I want to do one about the other parts of the family, and then it was just like was a
Eddie
disaster.
Eddie and Carl Winslow show wouldn't have worked, I don't think.
Yeah, and they brought in – remember when they brought in Eddie's friend who was like the
dummy?
Yeah. Yeah, so they brought in like the dummy, but then – because I was thinking about it, there's one where they're on a ledge – but then I just remember Urkel was there, too.
Yeah. That's right.
They just did such a poor job casting that show, is that it was like this side character. It would be like if Growing Pains was all about Boner. Like, if just like Boner shows up, and it's the Boner show from there on out.
Or it could be Eddie from that show, who was about 5'1" with a mullet. And he said – and when Boner left the show, it was all about Eddie. Eddie and Kirk would hit the or I should say, what was his name on that show? Mike? I don't know. Forget it. Eddie's an overlooked character on that show. Everyone remembers Boner because his name was Boner.
But, of course.
They knew what they were doing. Don't let them tell you different. They knew what they were doing. There's an episode of Growing Pains that still pisses me off where Dana Plato is a slut that's dressed like Madonna, and she –
oh, so Dana Plato was on Growing Pains at one point?
At one episode. She, when she was still good looking, and she dressed like Madonna, and she wanted to have sex with him, and he refused, which was the great 80s trend of a loose woman wanting to have sex with the main character, and the main character backing out. Which is also an episode of Mr. Belvedere, which is also an episode – there was an episode of Head of the Class. Very frustrating for a young man to watch these things. You have a girl that wants to have sex with you. How dare you turn that down? My goodness.
And he had his own little cool apartment over the garage, right? Didn't Kirk Cameron have his own spot?
But that's when he got into Jesus and he didn't like the scripts anymore.
Oh,
they were too crazy. Yeah, no.
Oh, I see.
He just wanted to explain why a banana was proof that God exists.
That's true.
That is something he actually did.
I remember that clip. I remember them saying it was because a monkey can hold it perfectly, and it bends right towards his mouth, and it's easy for peeling. And, you know, so obviously that's proof that God exists. It's like, well, how do you explain a pineapple? Because it hurts like hell when you grab it, and it's a lot of work in order to get that thing open.
That's the work of the devil.
It's the satanic fruit. Well, speaking of Satan, the Red Sox, they returned to Fenway Park today. No real way to transition from one to the next. But the players, they report today to get tested for the coronavirus. Once tested, they will self-isolate until tomorrow, and everyone who tests negative will be back at Fenway on Friday for their very first practice. Now, something, Joe, I you may need to put odds on this. Some sort of like bankroll boy over-under on or how much money it would be until a certain day. But I'm saying before Friday, the Red Sox will announce what the Oakland A's announced yesterday. And this is something that I have predicted ever since I saw something similar to this happen overseas with some of the soccer leagues. And that is that the A's are offering Coliseum cutouts. That means fans can purchase a regular cardboard cutout of themselves for $89 to be placed in the stands for the fanless baseball games that are going to be happening at A's Coliseum. Now, if you want to be in the foul ball zone, you can be there for $129. And if a foul ball hits someone's cutout, then the team will send them the baseball that hit them in the face.
Ooh, now, so you get sent something worth no money.
And who even knows if it's that actual ball. And the whole experience of catching a ball out the window. You just get sent a ball. And although it would be kind of funny if it hit your cardboard cutout in the face and that was on TV. That wouldn't be too bad. But to me, I've always been saying, I want to purchase an entire section of John Wallace. I mean, could you imagine if just behind home plate it was just a whole bunch of gaps sitting there with the big Wallach head behind every seat behind home plate?
Wallach got too vain and got rid of the gap, but that gap will last in infamy via the Wallach heads.
That's right.
Forever. Yeah, if you just gave them like the seats, like right in back of the right on the backstop, if you just gave them all that stuff. That whole section. Now, I would imagine that it would cost quite a bit of money. Well, and the station's flush right now. So look out for that.
Well, Dan just said, now, Dan, are you saying this because you know this or is this a prediction?
Do not know. It just came to. So what did you say? The Oakland A's call them what?
Oh, the Coliseum cutouts.
Coliseum cutouts. They are going to be called Fenway Faithful.
Ooh,
that is cheesy. It's just oozing out and they're going to be like, if you can't be there, you can still be there.
And whatever the price is, it's going to be more than the $89 they're charging for the Coliseum.
Maybe you get
cutouts.
A brick in the face, too, instead of a foul ball.
I'm wondering if they'll still do Sweet Caroline. You have to assume that they still do Sweet Caroline.
Oh, man, that would be ridiculous. If
they can just have the
TV.
Fans with massive grins on their faces and their arms around each other.
I'm guessing $149. That's what I think it'll be. $149.
If they mail, do you think you could mail it? Like they could mail it back to you at the end of the year?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it's the way that it works is I believe you email them a photo, and they just have this fake baseball jersey wearing body, and they put your face on it, and then they put it out in the. I mean, you've seen it over in. I think they actually did that with the Korean baseball
the Korean
for a little
baseball.
Bit too. So you're telling me that the Red Sox are going to pass up an opportunity to make some sort of money out of this?
Hey, listen, man, I made a pitch for them to do curbside. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't had, outside dining yet at Fenway Park. You know what
Who
I mean?
Would like curbside Fenway food.
Dude, people are probably dying for Fenway Franks and Cracker Jacks and all that stuff.
Why would you? You eat Fenway food because that's all you can eat when you're there.
Yeah, no,
like, it's not like you go there, ooh la la, Fenway Franks. I mean, listen, they're fine.
Hey, listen, I thought they'd do it. You know what I mean? For everything that they've done, I at least thought they'd probably have curbside already for Fenway Franks.
That's a good point. I mean,
that whole stretch of road.
What if they if there was a game, Rich, Fred and Joe, what if there was a game and they were able to close down Lansdowne Street and do outdoor dining for fans? You can't be in the stadium, but you could get the food.
During the game?
During the game, and hear the crack of the bat and then could broadcast the game out on the street.
Surprise!
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan Roach would be there with bells on.
Dan might get in. I bet he's going to get into some of these games. Because they're going to allow, I think, upwards of, 35 media members. And if Dan's not somebody, and I mean, if the guys from Nessun aren't going to be there, because, you know, that article was in the Globe last week said that they're more than likely going to be broadcasting from Watertown, like from their studios there. So if you're not even going to have them there, there's got to be room for someone like Dan Roach, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you could spread 30 people in the media throughout Fenway. I mean, it's not like...
Well, there's a bit of an uproar right now with some of the media people. So they're upset that they only get an hour after the games to hang out. So, like, the game will end, right? They'll go and do the press conferences. After those are done, they only get 1 hour to hang out and write their stories. And I don't know, some sort of uproar about some of the writers that they can't hang out for more than an hour at Fenway Park. And we spoke with the other night. I was with Jones. We spoke with Jason Mastrodonato, and he's like, "Man, I got to write my story." You know what I mean? It takes a long time to get these deadlines in. But yeah, a lot of these writers upset that they have to be out of there after an hour.
Well, can't they do it after the hour?
That's what I'm saying. Like, wait, so between the game ending, doing the press conference that you can hear on Zoom, anyways, you're upset that you only have an hour to write? I guess a lot of these guys probably hung out there all night. I don't know if it was the nostalgia of the park or the smell of the Franks. But, like, I don't know. I guess they're upset they only get an hour.
I just remember at Braves games, if you went to the press area, there used to be kegs of beer. And, like, all the writers would be drinking.
Somebody said, do they replace the cutouts every time it rains, or do they just keep a soggy version of everyone out there? That would be hysterical. Is if the season went on, everyone's kind of decaying in the stands. Like, part Melty of their face is, like, tripped off. It just looks like, you know, like the apocalypse.
Yeah, Walk just becomes one gap. It all falls into itself. And he just becomes a living gap. All right, Rich, what do we have? Go ahead.
I was just saying, I'm telling you, by Friday, there will be an announcement. Does anybody doubt that? If Oakland's already doing this, by Friday, you're going to get some sort of announcement from the Red Sox.
Hey, listen, Joe Murray. I'd bet on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are willing to pay. I mean, take the money. All right, what's coming up, Rich?
All right, so we got pretty good news if you are someone who hopes that Cam Newton is successful in New England. And on top of that, it looks like there might be a little bit of a scorned lover situation when it comes to an Instagram post from Julian Edelman.
Trouble in paradise. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused. Toucher and Rich. What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, very exciting news. Cam Newton, of course, now a member of the New England Patriots, and if you listen to Will Brinson, he is the second coming. So what is the news with him?
Well, this was kind of awesome. Apparently, he's already trying to make a connection with another Patriots player. According to Mohamed Sanu's Instagram, he's already working out with Cam Newton out in Los Angeles. And once again, I've talked about how Cam Newton looks like is like built like an action figure. Mohamed Sanu's walking around with his shirt off. That dude, it's like...
It's crazy huge.
How jacked that guy is.
It's like those commercials, like, what's his name? Terry Crews? I don't know if you've ever seen those, like...
Sure, Old Spice commercials.
Oh, my God. He looks, like, jacked up like that.
Yeah.
Huge.
That doesn't say anything for the quality of his foot right now, but the fact that the two of them are already, it looks like, working out together, that, I guess, can only be good news. But does that leave Julian Edelman kind of as the scorned lover kind of standing in the back?
I mean, he is out in California, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, how else is he going to further his television and movie career that he pays for? I mean, this guy is, you know, he is the Steve Garvey of modern times. He's in movies and whatever have you. So he's got to be in L.A., but he doesn't seem to be working out with Cam Newton.
No, but he did put an Instagram photo out there, the two of them, of Edelman and Cam Newton, photoshopped in Patriots uniforms, and Edelman captioned the photo, and now he used those weird wing dings and stuff that Cam Newton uses, and he put Newton, Massachusetts. Hashtag let's work. There you go, Fred. So
which side?
Well, I mean, the right side of the Whole Foods, I'm sure. But it's
There's Whole Foods. There's two Whole Foods. And if you ever came out to this area, you might know that, jabroni. So don't start talking out of your ass. There's a Whole Foods on both sides. In fact, on the bad side of town, there's a bigger Whole Foods.
Oh.
Yeah. Because those scum obviously can't fit into a normal-sized Whole Foods.
It's where all the bad stuff goes down. You're heading toward Trader Joe's territory, which is not
right.
Nobody wants to be seen around that part of Newton, right?
Well, I mean, there's Trader Joe's over there, but on my side of Newton, we like to keep things local. I mean, that's just the way we do it. Mm-hmm. You got to go to Chestnut Hill if you want to go to Stop and Shop or Shaw's. Oh, I'm sorry, Shaw's. And that's in Chestnut Hill, where I live. It's independent business, baby. Support small business.
That's home of the Wegmans, isn't it? Isn't that where they got the old Wegmans?
That's Chestnut Hill. Shut up.
That's what you're saying, Chestnut Hill. Yeah, where you said.
But Shaw's. I don't live in Chestnut Hill. I live in Newton.
Okay.
I live by Tango Mango. There's a Subway. There's a Panera Bread. That's right. The hard streets of Newton Center, Milo. You got that much right.
That's right. Well, Newton, Massachusetts is what was captioned on the thing. Hashtag let's work. And underneath that post, somebody snuck on in, Tom Brady, and he put, I will always be your number one.
Oh, Jules.
Tom. Tom.
he just loves social media.
Oh yeah, he's like Mr. Social Media now. Okay, look at me, Tom. He's Mr. Relax. Who cares about the coronavirus? The fear is all we got to fear. Fear itself, baby. Come on, relax, baby. Hey, you still love me, Jules?
Tom.
We're gonna get the whole world, Tom.
Yeah. And what was that Jacoby Brissett quote yesterday? He'll text him like it's his girl for something.
Yeah, like he texts you back. Like
you text him, he'll text
girlfriend.
You back like it's your girlfriend.
There you go.
Well, I mean, he calls everyone babe or babe. What does he say, babe or baby? Yeah.
What's up, babe? I think he calls him babe.
Yeah.
It's a mix. I've heard him say baby as well. It's babe, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And by the way, there was some rumors floating around yesterday that Odell Beckham was going to be traded to the Patriots. As a matter of fact, he was asked about that by somebody on his Instagram, and he said no, he has unfinished business in Cleveland. I know Odell Beckham and Cam Newton apparently are good friends. I'm sure that's something that might have made the chatter a little bit louder. Speaking of receivers going to play with quarterbacks that they like, remember how yesterday not only JT the Brick, but I think, was it Mike Lombardi?
Mike Lombardi,
out and said that
you had me at the Brick.
The Brick, that Antonio Brown, there were rumors once again circulating that he would be going to Tampa Bay, even though I don't know if they need him or if there's room for him. I say that they're pretty stocked as is. Well, according to more reports yesterday, like ESPN, they said Tampa Bay is not interested in Antonio Brown because isn't that exactly what Bruce Arians said? He said that we don't need Antonio Brown. And I don't even think he likes Antonio Brown. If Tom Brady wants him, it doesn't really matter. But if you've got all this newness going on and you're trying to put this new offense together, you're trying to get your guys to gel. I don't know if Antonio Brown's the guy you want to throw into all of that, to build a good culture.
Murray loves Antonio Brown.
I think Antonio Brown is still the best, still the best, most talented wide receiver in football.
I don't think
Not
there's
even
a doubt.
Playing.
I don't think there's a doubt.
Best back shoulder receiver I've ever seen in my life. The way that he can catch a football back shoulder. He did it in Miami last year with the Patriots. If you put him on that team, they literally would be amazing around the red zone. And they struggled. That's something Brady struggled with last year. But, man, you put all those targets there, And listen, they, you know, it's like one move for the Patriots. Maybe the next move will be the Bucks. Maybe that's a little back and forth we continue to see with those two teams. But I believe it was Deanna Rossini, I think, said no.
Yeah. She said no. Not happening.
All right. We'll be back. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.